Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Toner Sculpt. It's your girl, Chrissy Chella, and listen, the incredible woman I have sat opposite me in today's podcast is incredibly special. She consistently and proactively encourages a healthy relationship with food and calls out all the bullshit on diet myths, fad diets, yo-yo diets, binge eating, restrictiveness with food, and so much more. This is Lucy Mountain. So without further ado, let's get into this podcast. Hello, Lucy. How are you?
Hi, Chrissy. I'm a bit sweaty, but I'm good.
Trust you to say
just
that.
Just power walk it.
I know. And you don't even have a bag. Where's your bag?
I do have two bags. I mean, they're stored away in this very professional setup.
Thank you. Thank you. Here at Toner Sculpt, we like to make our guests feel incredibly special.
I feel very special. I got offered a can of Coke when I came in, so.
F my life. I didn't even get a can of Coke. Where's my can of Coke? No, I'm joking. I'm only joking. So now, as I mentioned in my introduction, you are such an advocate for nutrition, for health. And that is what I love. I remember seeing your stuff for the first time and I was like, holy shit, this girl has balls. Like, you have balls to speak up about what is necessarily, in my opinion, the right way to consider food. And I think that in a world full of many opinions, which is absolutely fine, it can sometimes be a little bit too consuming to know what is good and what is bad. Mm. And then comes in all this almost a objective approach to food, that we're labeling food as good and bad, and society is making us believe that these are things we should eat and these are things we shouldn't eat. And that's why Lucy's here today, to help us understand and have a clearer perspective in exactly what nutrition is and how we should view it from, I guess, your opinion.
I think I mean I've been on Instagram for like 5 years now, and when I first started I was very much like immersing myself in the kind of fitness culture, and back then it was nowhere near as balanced, hashtag balanced, as it is now. It was all about kind of tracking everything, and you know, if you're going to the gym, you were kind of planning your physique show, and it was all about, that's what it was all about really, like the bodybuilding world. And I think I very much had like a rigid mindset when it came to food. I had my good foods that I'd try and eat all the time, and then I'd treat myself to my bad foods, which I'd maybe save for like a weekend with my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. I was going to say RIP then, but he's not dead.
Boy, bye.
Do you know what though? I did actually say this recently. He was the one that got me into fitness, because he was the one that dragged me into the weight section. Okay. I was not going in there without him. But yeah, I think now, I think we definitely have a more balanced approach with food, and at least I am in my own echo chamber trying to help people stop viewing foods as bad, but rather look at the diet overall. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, yes, we're eating food, right? But those portions of food and those meals and those snacks and whatever, they make up a diet across time, right? It's not just these single components.
Lifestyle.
Exactly. It's a lifestyle.
And do you think, I don't have to put this, but I just feel like right now, especially on Instagram, it's incredibly saturated with people's views on food. And let's say I'm a beginner in health and fitness. I'm a little bit clueless on what to do. I've been following someone on social media who tells me carbs are okay, but they don't seem to work for me, or that keto is the way forward, but keto doesn't work for me. It makes me feel dizzy, makes me feel ill. And it's just like, it feels like you don't know where to turn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit, I feel like it's almost a little bit, I feel sorry for someone who may not have a clear perspective on health and fitness because they're just starting out, which we all started out at one point of another. Yeah. So it's like, who do you believe and who do you not believe?
Yeah. Do you know what? I also spoke about this recently as well. And I feel like maybe about a year ago, I was erring into the kind of, like my message was very much, eat what you want, doesn't matter, you know, love your body, love your diet, love your food. And that's all great. They're great messages. But what I was kind of forgetting was the reason I have such a balanced and I would say positive relationship with food, right, is because I've done it all. Like, I've done the low carb thing, hated it. I've done the tracking macros thing that actually taught me a lot of lessons with my diet, but I don't want to do that anymore. And that's okay. And I've done loads of different things. I've tried different things. I've done stupid diets. And I think I've learned everything that I have because of that journey. So my approach now is very much rather than shaming people for trying different things. And, you know, when I say things, I don't mean like fads. I'm strongly against, you know, the detox teas and all that.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Bullshit. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I am now, my approach is, you know, if you want to track calories for a bit, cool. You know, if that's going to help you and that's going to, you know, you think that might be right for you, that's fine. If you want to do intuitive eating, fantastic. Focus on that. Because as much as I have my own preferences now, what I do, I think it's so important that we don't forget, especially as influencers, what our journey has been. Because it's layers, right? You know, I'm sure you're the same. Like you've done various different things with nutrition.
I have. Yeah. I have. And I remember for such a long time, I was under eating massively. And it wasn't until I started actually tracking what I was eating where red flags started appearing. And I was like, oh my God, I am under eating massively. How do I expect to get the results that I want to get when I'm eating next to nothing? And like you just said, tracking for some people really works, and it really did work for me at the start. And now I can eyeball food and I understand my portion control because I tracked and because I had a set meal plan and because I implemented that into my regime. But I think had I not done that, I would have continuously underate, not progressed, and been frustrated in this constant like a never ending circle. And I would just be where I first started. So by tracking and by including what macros or calories I should be consuming, it really did help me, and it was a great eye opener. Do I do it now? No. Now I know what my body needs. Now I know my portion controls. But if you're someone who doesn't, it's a fantastic way to start because you could be undereating or you could be overeating.
Yeah, I think the undereating thing is really interesting because I think, you know, as women, we're kind of made to feel like we need to be eating less and less calories and look smaller. And that's kind of our path that people have paved for us.
Society have paved.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's so interesting that, you know, we look at these fitness bodies, these kind of aesthetics, like the big glutes and the abs and stuff. And we're looking at muscle definition here. And that requires energy. And that requires food, exactly.
So much food.
Yeah, and it requires calories. And I think calories has actually become a bit of a dirty word because of, you know,
it's a naughty word. People get scared. They're like, calories. Oh my God, calories. And I'm like,
yeah,
chill out, first of all. Food is not your enemy. I'm sorry, but I know someone will be listening to this going, yeah, but that's easy for you to say, you know? And it's just like, no, it's not. Because at one point I did see food as the enemy. At one point I was drastically undereating and I felt lethargic and I felt weak and I felt like I was not progressing. We all literally go through the same journey. It's like I'm just at a different stage at mine. Do you know what I mean? Let's say we all start reading the same book. Just because you start at page one, I could be on page 50 for, you know.
I love the book reference.
Thank you so much.
You're so educated.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
But no, I always talk about calorie neutrality. I don't know. Is that the right word? Neutrality?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's flow with it.
Let's just make it a word if it's
that
not.
That sounds sexy.
It does, doesn't it? Saucy. yeah, because I think people say like calories don't count. Calories don't matter. It's about nutrients and stuff. And it's like we need both. we need to talk about both, and we need to talk about them both with no judgment, and one's not more important than the other. And I think we need to kind of see calories as this neutral thing. They're not good and they're not bad. They're just a part of nutrition. Mm-hmm. It's one element of nutrition, just like, you know, getting your nutrients in that's going to help for your health and well-being. It's just an element, and it doesn't need to be this scary thing. But at the same time, we don't need to bury our heads in the sand and kind of push the knowledge away and think, I don't want to talk about calories. I'm not doing calories.
Mm.
I think it's important for people to understand how the mechanism works and how, you know, what a calorie is. You know, it's not even a physical thing. It's just a measurement of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think reframing it as this kind of neutral thing that's neither good or bad is an important exercise for people to do, because then we start to see food as energy, and it's essential, and it helps us reach our goals, and it helps us feel good, and it helps us, like, get out of bed in the morning.
Yep.
And, you know, live our life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the thing as well, when moving on to something that I really want to talk about is binge eating. And I feel like whenever we mention the words calories around someone who may not necessarily have the best relationship with food due to past experiences, or maybe due to what they've been taught or what they've read, calories is such a scary word.
Mm.
And binge eating, you know, I've dealt with thousands of clients who have, I would say, quite severe cases of binge eating and how they view food, because it genuinely petrifies them. And I remember reading this one client's email, and she was like, you know, I burn X amount because I ate X amount. Or, you know, why am I not seeing results? Because I burnt the food I ate. And I'm like, whoa, like, chill. You're burning calories as me and I'm burning calories as me and Lucy are sitting here. You know, like, no one takes into consideration these things. And it's, I don't know, it's a bit sad, binge eating. And I just want to know your perspective on it, really.
I think binge eating, in my opinion, obviously there's a kind of clinical medical sense where it's an eating disorder, and, you know, binge eating disorder is a real thing. Then there's kind of just overeating. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes feel like people label, you know, eating a whole pack of biscuits as binging. And I guess in some way, it depends how you define it. In some ways, it is a binge. But at the same time, like, we all have instances in our life where we overeat.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, if I want a goddamn pizza.
You eat that pizza?
Like, with my dogs on the sofa watching Friends, like, I'm going to do that because I know my limits and I know how to control it. But then that's where we go into, well, I know how to control it, but someone who binge eats does not know how to control it.
But you're controlling it by saying, I'm allowed to have, like, this is, it's okay for me to have this, you know? Whereas other people will think, right, I'm going to have this, but only on the condition that I do, you know, a cardio session in the morning, and, you know, I restrict my calories by this, the equal amount that I've eaten. Yeah, I think, I mean, a lot of the work that I do on Instagram is kind of trying to make people feel heard, because as binge eating, I think people feel kind of ashamed. It's like those midnight trips to the kitchen. We all do them.
Yeah.
But it's more, we don't really always talk about it. We don't talk about, you know, when it's 12 o'clock at night and we want a little snack. It's like, oh, going to the kitchen, sneaking around. Mm. And really, it's like, if you're hungry, eat. But I also feel like with binging, it's a tendency of people who maybe are over restricting in the day or over restricting during the week. Whenever they're finding they're binging, it's that restriction mentality, and that, unfortunately, is the outcome. You know, once you get a taste of something that you've told yourself
not to
have it, that's when you're like, oh my god, I need it. And then that's when you're like, fuck it, I'm gonna have the whole thing,
because
I've ruined it now. And I've been there.
There's no point. I might as well have the whole cake, not a slice. And that's fine-ish. I'm not gonna lie to you. But
if it's making you feel like a pile of shit physically, then that's not okay. You know?
Yeah.
And I think as much as it's fine to overconsume foods and things, but if it's making you feel horrible and it's actually hurting, eating to that point is a sign that maybe that's something
to
work on. Yeah, something to work on and something to readdress.
But people, some people don't know when to stop, and that's the thing. And I think, look, when I initially wanted to start this podcast, the whole intention behind it is to
be as brutal as I can be, because I feel like sometimes
the biggest savage.
Just be brutal, because sometimes I go on social media, I'm so annoyed about this, that people are like, you know what, you can eat what you want and it's absolutely fine. Okay, try telling that to someone who has a heart problem, blocked arteries, cannot even walk properly, is on the level of obesity, who their life is at risk because of their health. Can they have a slice of pizza? Mm. Can they have a two big full pizzas? Is that okay? Mm. So where do we draw the fine line? Did fitness and health become such a... So bad. Like, no, fitness and health can cure people's lives. Mm. And I read this one comment. This girl goes, it wasn't until I started training that I saw what my body was able to do.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I started incorporating nutrient-dense food that I saw how sharp my brain and how well I reacted to things. And that's what fitness is to me. Mental ability, physical ability, making yourself better, because I know you can make yourself better. Health and fitness is, to me, is not depriving, restricting, starving, and being like, oh, you know, all week I've eaten so well, therefore on a weekend I'm gonna absolutely eat what the hell I want, go to the McDonald's drive-thru five times because I've eaten so well.
Yeah, I don't
know. That's just my opinion. Sorry for being a bit brutal. Don't unsubscribe.
You be brutal. I think eating what you want is an interesting phrase, because I think that instills a lot of fear in people. They're like, oh, but if I eat what I want, what am I going to eat? Where's that going to lead to? And I think if you think about it, if you're over-restricting and there's certain foods that you're like, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, let's take chocolate and pizza. If you then said to yourself, right, I'm going to eat what I want now, what you want won't just be pizza and chocolate. Because if all you ate was pizza and chocolate for like 5 days straight, how are you going to feel? You're like, your bowels are not going to be good. You're going to feel horrible and bloated.
Yeah.
You're going to feel tired.
Your shits ain't going to be the best. I'm putting it out there.
Yeah. Thank you for saying
that.
Ain't
going to be the best.
Chrissy, in there with the toilet talk. That's fine.
Just,
we're going
I've
in
been there.
There.
It's been a disaster. But, you know.
Jack's like, yeah, I know.
Yes, he has.
But, you know. Anyway, moving on. Moving on from Chrissy's bowel movement.
Yep.
So that is no longer going to be what you want. You know, when you go on holiday, and maybe it's all inclusive and you've got all this amazing food and you come back from your holiday and you're like, oh, you know what? I just really want like some like pineapple, or like, you know, you're just craving fresh food because you've maybe not had that in a while. And I think.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Eating what you want, some people would kind of take that as like just pizza and just chocolate, because when you're restricting it, what you want are those foods, right? But the reality of it is like, you aren't going to want all those foods. You're going to want fresh foods, and again, food that makes you feel sharp, food that makes you feel energized. Mm. What we want is not just what we think our taste buds want. It's what our bodies want. It's what is going to help us train in the gym and feel good and get stronger and reach our goals and, you know, smash that job interview. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all those smash that exam.
Like, yeah.
Like when I remember when I was doing my law exams, and a lot of the people in my class were always saying to me, like, I don't know how you're staying so fit and healthy whilst you're studying. And I was like, dude, it's the only thing that's getting me through this. I'm so sharp right now because my brain is clear. Like, I was eating so much freaking broccoli and greens and protein and all this stuff. Like, I was just sharp. I'm not kidding. My brain was clear. It wasn't clouded.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that drinking a can of Coke a day is going to cloud your memory. But what I am saying is there's a reason why certain food are nutrient dense and our body actually requires them. Mm. It really needs them. And I think these are things that we should never just ignore.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe when you tell people to eat what they want, like you said, it's not necessarily that you want that pizza. It's maybe you're lacking a bit of salt.
Yeah.
Or maybe your body's lacking a bit of sugar.
Mm.
So why not opt for something else to begin with? If you still want that piece of chocolate, that's fine. Majority of the time, I feel like you could be a bit bored. I know for a fact when I'm at home not doing much, oh my God, I'm like, listen, that snack cupboard is looking a bit saucy from this end, even though it's shut, you know, I need to go in there.
Yeah.
But it's because I'm bored. And then as soon as I get up and do something, I'm like, I didn't actually need it. I didn't actually want it. I was just a bit bored.
I never have any food in my house. It's so barren. It's really bad.
Oh my God, I'm not coming to yours for any snacks. Honestly,
it's just the worst. Like, I would be a terrible hostess. I don't invite anyone around though because my flat's so horrible. At the moment.
Oh, but it's fine.
I'm on the ninth floor, so if I want a snack, I have to go down to Tesco.
There you go. By the time you get there, you're like, I didn't even need this shit. But, you know.
That's when I'm like, Ben and Jerry's, come here. But yeah, no, I think it is interesting, but I think a good thought process is just trying to picture, you know, if I was on day five of pizza and ice cream, would I really want that? Probably not.
Mm. What are your thoughts on, for example, macros and diets?
Mm.
That's what I want to know. Because, for example, if you guys know and you are doing the Toner Sculpt app, we do not have macros in the app. We have taken them out.
Mm.
And the reason being, we have them for example, if there's like a slice of, I don't know, ham, you'll have it there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not actually in the meal
or
the calorie targets, the macro targets that you should be hitting. The reason being is because I feel like numbers can be very consuming.
Yeah.
So instead, what we did was, I don't know if you're aware of this, what we did was you get a meal plan that mm-hmm. you can drag and drop the meals that you want, but it's within the calorie range that you've decided to have because of your goals, but without the macros. Like,
yeah.
You kind of don't need the macros, I feel. I feel like you just, if you have a meal plan, it's different to a diet plan.
Yeah.
Diet plans scare me. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I've literally got to eat just this, do only this. I cannot have anything else. Even if I want a glass of wine, oh my God, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like a meal plan, you're still going to set yourself a goal and it's going to help you achieve that goal, but it's not going to make you feel like you're the most restricted person in the room.
Yeah, I think I like that you've removed it. I think that's really cool because sometimes even the concept and learning how calories work in reference to macros and that the calories are essentially just a product of the macros, it can be really confusing. And sometimes you don't always have to know everything in order to get to, you don't need to know the nitty gritty of everything.
Yeah.
And I guess your job as the app woman, the online coach, the app woman, that should be your new title. You are the expert, right? And everyone else.
Oh God. Well, we do have a nutritionist. She has a PhD. She's amazing.
You got your team. But you are the provider.
Yeah.
the provider.
Well, after, because I answer like emails with clients and, you know, with our marketing team and our social team, they read every single comment that filters through any type of Toner Sculpt social. The most reoccurring question or debate was, oh my God, I'm not hitting my macro target. Oh my God, that means I'm not going to hit my goals. And I'm like, Usa, chill.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back. It does not matter if you're 10 grams short.
I think as well, people will forget that these calorie calculators that we're using, right, they are based on like results of a study where people have decided, right, this range is most optimal for this goal.
Mm.
And then that's taking average of what you're eating and the information that you put in there. Half the time I will get people messaging me and saying, my calorie target's so low, why? And I'm like, because you put your activity as so low, but you're way more active and, you know, yeah. And it gets so confusing. There's so much human error and there's so much use of like general averages. I think people can get really stressed when, you know, they see a calorie target and they're like, oh, I should, you know, I'm 100 above or 100 below and, you know, I'm not going to get my goal now. And yeah. It's like, that's just averages anyway, which I think is a good argument as to why it's good to kind of transition from there when you can. Because, you know, do your learning, learn about how much energy is in food. That's great. But eventually it's no longer practical and it actually no longer serves a purpose. When I did my Knobs cookbook, I actually had the calories and macros in there for each recipe because I thought people will want this information. I can't do a cookbook without having that. But then I listened to my audience, kind of like what you were saying with your emails. And I'm like, hang on a second. My girls, my knobs, they don't always want to see calories and
knob ends.
Knobbies. They actually call each other knobs. It's so great. But they don't want to see like this crispy cake and they always want to know how many calories in it because they just want to make it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Macros terrify me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Like I've been doing this for quite a while and I feel like they do petrify me a bit. But if I kind of know what I should roughly be hitting in sense of a calorie range, it makes me feel more comforted knowing that, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Or, for example, we have pasta or, you know, I'm assuming with your cookbook, you have various of different recipes that people would consider as bad food.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just like, you can have these foods.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot stress that enough. You can have these foods. You just need to... I just feel like portion control is key.
Yeah.
I really do. And I feel like when you understand your body and you understand that the minute you stop labeling food as good and bad,
yeah,
it will make you feel less bad.
It's so liberating, isn't it?
It is. And it's like, I remember for such a long time, I used to feel so bad. I really did. I was like, oh, God, man, I'm having a little treat. I'm fucking going like shit.
Little chocolate bar.
Yeah. And now I'm like, I literally, our offices, right, they always bring out chocolate and like
M&Ms. I've seen them on the stories. They look great.
But I go there and I grab a bar and I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's
great.
That kind of summarizes how... It's so funny. You don't even think about it. It's the same with like body image and stuff. Once you kind of get to that point where you no longer see stuff as good or bad, but it is what it is. You know, I prefer to label food as nutrient dense, kind of like what you were saying earlier, nutrient dense, and just like less nutrient dense.
That's how I see it too. I really do. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the scale. And that's not to be like overly PC. But for me, I personally, I just feel like that's when the penny dropped for me. And you could take it further and you can, you know, sometimes I feel bad. I don't feel bad, but sometimes I'm conscious of labeling foods as healthy food because then I think, well, the opposite of that is unhealthy. And
yeah,
it can get a bit convoluted. But for me, I think a hard no is the good, bad thing.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, I don't use those phrases. When I'm talking about food online, I try and avoid things like a treat and definitely a cheat. But you've got to work out what works for you, right? You know, you've got to figure out what kind of language is going to help you feel less like weird about food.
Yeah. And the thing is, look, like to anyone listening to this, it's going to be a journey. It's going to be a process. It could be longer for you and shorter for someone else. And that is absolutely fine. But you need to stop viewing food as a negative. You need to stop viewing food as such an enemy because it is not. It is going to fuel, replenish, recover, restore your body, especially if you're training, especially if you have an intense training regime that you need that energy back into your system.
Yeah.
If you're someone who's studying, someone who, you know, I was working 30 hours a week as a waitress on my feet, I needed food in my system. And at that point, I was under eating and I used to feel so lethargic all the goddamn time, like always. But then, yet again, this circles back to us figuring it out for ourselves.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean everybody has this vision and doesn't mean that everybody has got it yet. And that's absolutely fine because, like I said, it's a journey, it's a process. And I do hope that you guys realized that food is not labeled good or bad.
Yeah.
There's more nutrients in some, there's less nutrients in others. That does not mean you should stop eating one or the other. That means you should find what works for you.
Yeah.
But that also means that if you are heavily like at a health risk and someone is telling you you can eat whatever you want and whatever you want seems to be less nutrient dense food, then we got a bit of a situation there. So that's where the line is so fine and blurred sometimes, I feel.
It is. It's hard. And I think there's so much emotion in food, isn't there? You know, we all have those foods. Like for me, it's pick a mix. Oh, it's just my favourite thing ever. And when I even think about it right now, like my mouth is like...
Oh my God!
It's going, Chrissy. But for me, it's like it's good memories of like being younger and like going to the cinema with my ex-boyfriend. No, I'm just joking. I need to stop talking about him.
Yeah, oh my God!
I talked about him twice this
week.
Wait,
do you have a boyfriend now?
Yeah, I do.
Let's make sure this podcast is not sent to him.
It reminds me of like being a teenager and I just love it. It tastes great, right? So for me, pick a mix is like my favorite thing, but I don't know where I'm going with this now.
She's thinking about her ex-boyfriend.
I'm thinking about my pick a mix and my ex-boyfriend.
No, you're not. You're thinking about your ex-boyfriend. We can edit this out. Joking. Don't edit this out. So we're keeping all of this shit in.
But you don't like.
But I know what you mean.
Pick a mix is my thing, right? So when I have it, I feel it's not just eating food. We're experiencing emotions when we're eating as well, and. You can't just separate the two. So I think if you're then relying on food, if bad things are going on in your life, right, we all have stresses, we 100%. All have shit to deal with. Mm. And sometimes food can be like a comfort blanket. You know, if you hate your job and you work with assholes, coming home and knowing, right, I'm going to have this pizza, I'm going to have this ice cream, this is what's going to make me happy. When you're relying on food in that way as like a little prop to maintain your happiness levels because everything else is falling apart, that's when you can sometimes get in this negative cycle and start to blame food.
Yeah.
Whereas if you actually focused on, okay, but why am I sad? Why am I stressed? Why am I reaching for the food as a comfort blanket? If you started to pinpoint what's causing stress, like your terrible job and your horrible colleagues, then you can start to be like, right. but then you can start to realize, well, actually, if I figured out this stuff and started to, you know, maybe apply for a new job or, you know, whatever.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Everything else can kind of fall into place.
Yeah.
Last year, I went through loads of stuff in my mental health. I didn't feel good. I felt I was depressed for about 3 months and I didn't want to train, didn't want to eat nutrient dense foods. I just felt like a pile of shit, really. And now I'm much happier. Now I'm fulfilled. And now I've got my dream job.
Yeah.
You know, so
I remember you telling me this because we met before.
Yeah.
And you told me, like, had I known that all this hard work would pay off for you actually getting your dream job, you know, it's the most amazing feeling in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming what you're about to say now is you feel so much more fulfilled.
Exactly.
And happy, and you're not so reliant on the food that you are consuming.
Yeah, and I'm training 4 times a week and my food choices are balanced, right? And I'm enjoying myself and I feel energized, I feel awake, I feel great.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking, guys.
I feel fantastic and phenomenal. But I agree with you. And I think that, you know, it's one of those things that if you're feeling crappy, don't add to it. And I feel like by adding to it, is by adding no nutrient dense food, no balance, no control, ridiculously big portions. And then you're going to feel sluggish, bloated, you feel bad. Well, some people don't even feel bad, which is fine. But let's say you do feel bad and you say, oh, fine, whatever is what it is. I'll start tomorrow.
Mm.
Cycle begins again and it begins again. So you got to ask yourself, what is truly making you do all these things?
Yeah.
And like you said, if it's your job, sit back and think about it because honestly, like we have one life, right?
Yes.
Not to get too deep and emotional.
I love where this
here,
is going. It's so true.
But we have one life. And even when I was in a relationship before Jack, I was so unhappy for the last year of that relationship, like beyond unhappy. And I sat back and asked myself, like, what is making me unhappy that is causing me so much pain in all of the other things and aspects of my life? I didn't want to spend time with my family. I didn't want to spend time with myself. Absolutely hated, like, being alone. It scared me being alone in my own thoughts. So I changed all those things. Yeah, it took me quite a while. I'm not going to lie. It takes a while. But now that I've incorporated things that make me happy, like helping other women, like going to the gym, you know, like going for a walk with my dogs, it's provided such a positive aspect in my life. It's consumed me in such a positive manner that my resource of happiness isn't food.
Yeah.
It's other factors in my life.
Yeah.
And don't get it twisted. I have moments where I'm like fucking about to cry. And then, like, actually, no, I cried in the middle of the subway today.
That you say subway.
I don't know why I said subway.
Subway. You're just so LA now.
Subway.
She's okay now.
But I'm okay now. But listen, you guys, I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. Like, and I really hope that we gave you some reassurance when it comes to food and some reassurance when it comes to a relationship with food. It's not going to be easy. We're not saying that, you know, it's just as easy as you figuring out what works for you or figuring out that food, not all food is bad or good and all this malarkey. Like, it's going to take time and it's a process and it's a lifestyle.
You've had years of conditioning, right? To think that foods are good or bad, so it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, 100%. And it didn't happen overnight for me. And I think I've been training for like 5 years now. And the first year and a half was under eating, depriving myself, thinking everything was good or bad, thinking that everything was like my enemy and life hated me. And now I'm like starting to get the swing of things and I feel like more comfortable in my own skin and comfortable with the foods I eat. So yet again, guys, where we're going with this is we just really hope we've shed some light when it comes to food. And don't always rely on what you see on social media. Instead, educate yourself and find what works for you. And if that does mean that keto works for you, fantastic. If that means that high carb diets work for you, brilliant.
Yeah.
But figure out what works for you.
Mm. I couldn't agree more. I think it's, you can sometimes feel a little bit shamed and a bit judged, but ultimately, again, like, we only have this one life, you know?
Live it to your God fullest. Do you. Live it to your fullest and make sure you go to the subway when you go to LA. Does LA even have the subway?
I mean, I've never been, but...
Yeah. Oh, hon, I'll take ya.
I'll come.
All right. Well, I truly hope that you enjoyed this podcast. Lucy, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
She's amazing, guys. So please make sure that you check out her Knobs cookbook. It's absolutely amazing. I've got it at home. It's on my shelf. I love it. Even the packaging, everything. I love how you sent it to me in the shiniest fucking packaging you could possibly find.
Only the best for Chrissy, you know.
Thanks, I know. Joking. Anyway, guys, make sure that you're subscribed to this channel and give us a little rating. I love you always and forever. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.